we had a great time down in North Carolina at Miss Doris Red Wines. It was more fun than I'd ever imagined, and a lot of it had to do with this guy sitting over to my left. I've never heard a message that was so entertaining and true at the same time.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was hilarious and true. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Hilarious and true together. Mm-hmm. And taking what appeared to us like it was Christianity and turning it inside out and using the Bible.
Yes.
just amazing. Yeah. Just amazing. Amazing. So I'm so excited about what's going to happen tomorrow at 10 a.m. You want to tune in because it will be unedited. Ooh. So if you wait for the YouTube, we might have to cut a couple things out. So you might want to watch tomorrow if you're listening. Hello to Christina in New Zealand. I know she's tuning in Saturday morning there. And Linda in Florida is listening. We've got Gaffas that listen from Africa, and there's normally about 60 or 70 people that tune in, so it's not too bad for a bunch of kids, as my dad would say.
Right.
So anyways, welcome Sarah and Kent, Connie, Sally's with us again, and then we'll LaVon should be with us a little bit later.
Stephen.
Yep, the salts are coming from...
Are they?
From Western Michigan. So anyways, we talked about a lot of things when we were together last time. And what surprised me is the first message I gave, there is no God. I thought nobody would listen to it. And we've had over 500 views and no cursing or stomping or carrying on or death threats or anything, which is sort of surprising me.
Yeah.
But it's quite shocking to hear something like that, especially living in the West. And again, I loved how Robert dealt with that in this message, you know, that the reason we say that is because, and I'll talk about it more tonight, the reason there can be no God is because as soon as you say that with your lips, you're creating a world of duality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're creating a place where there's a you and something else. And that's what we're teaching against. We're teaching that there's no separation whatsoever, that there's only one. And as Dana would always say, and she's got it on her banner on Facebook, you can't be one with something when there's only one.
Exactly.
It's impossible. There is only one. Mm-hmm. And that source is unconditional love, and it's the energy from which everything flows. And mm-hmm. to me, it's an insult to call it some kind of puny god.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting somewhere, thinking about what it might do to you.
It's exactly. Limiting, too.
Yeah. And it just it's just not true. So this is why the hair raises up on the back of my neck when people use it in their language, and then there's a big group now that's saying their God. Well, you hang around Dean Dosher very long, you'll get rid of that. Because that's just the desire to be God.
Right.
And it's where the concept of having another comes from. Well, everything is one. Nothing's out of order ever. And so for everything to be one and nothing to be out of order, it can only dwell in a timeless eternity where there's no time. In tomorrow's lesson, we're going to talk about time quite a bit. But tonight, I want to talk about death because it's something that all of us have concerns about. And I've shared with it a couple different times, but I've got a lot of new insight on it and revelation since we've been together last. And the series title is Awakening to the Dream. And tonight we're talking about that death is an illusion. And that doesn't make sense to a body mind. Well, I've got news for you. You're not a body or a mind. So if that really overwhelms you and settles down in you, the fear of death starts to go away. But sooner or later, you're going to take your last step. You'll breathe your last breath. And you'll disappear from the face of the earth. But the first thing that you're going to realize when that transition takes place is it's going to be like a tsunami that overwhelms you. And you'll realize that there never was such a thing as death. That's the first thing that you're going to realize, is that death isn't real. Well, if we could get a hold of that now and understand that and have a little glimpse of that, it would start to remove the fear of death from your life. But the first thing you're going to realize is there's no such thing as death. It's just going to overwhelm you. And there won't be any kind of recollection of it. But the second thing you'll realize, and this is the part that's going to be harder, what I'm going to tell you now, is that your mind will have vanished with all of its history. Now, we said for years there's no such thing as history. Martha said it years ago to Ann Harbach, and it just relieved her from all the condemnation she'd been carrying around, like a little railroad car full of thoughts and ideas of, I did this wrong and I did that wrong, and she went through a divorce, and what could I do wrong? How could somebody leave me? And she's sweet as can be. I don't know how anybody could leave her. I couldn't have left her. But all that goes around with you. Well, where does it come from? It can only come from your memory.
Right.
But see, the first thing you're going to realize is that you won't have a memory. All of your five senses are going to shut down. You will not have a memory. And people think, oh man, that's really sad. I'm not going to have a memory. I'm not going to remember everybody. Well, if you recognize anybody, it's going to be in a totally different dimension.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It won't be anything like what this is.
That's right.
Okay? It'll be nothing like this,
exactly.
Okay, at all. And so all of that's going to vanish. Well, we say that all. All of us understand there's no such thing as a past and a future.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why would that be so scary to lose your memory? You think, I mean, I'm not going to recognize my wife, not in this light. No, it won't happen. And I maybe can talk about Paul a little bit. I hate to refer to scripture, but he talked about going from glory to glory. Yes. Well, it's going to be something way beyond what the mind can comprehend.
Exactly.
That's all I can tell you.
Exactly.
And it won't be bad. Now, if I could wipe your memory out right now, completely, you could not judge anything.
That's right.
Whoa.
That might be good.
Yeah.
How could you judge anything? There'd be nothing there to reference to. So where does all of our judgment come from? What does that tell you? Huh? Hello? History. All of your judgment comes from your history. And it's not real, folks. So when we talk about the illusion, people don't like the word illusion. Okay? But the world that you're picturing out in your mind is something you create in your mind. It's not real. It's just something you form in your mind. All the things you don't like or you do like, all that stuff forms concepts and beliefs that just are an illusion. They're not real. If there was something real about it, everybody would be the same. There wouldn't be billions of worlds out there. Because everybody has their own world. And yours isn't mine. And mine isn't yours. And I mean, I've had some experiences every time I go up to these meetings where my world gets shook up. And anything that can be shaken is shaken. And I have to remind myself of this. That this just all coming from my judgment and my mind and the fears that it's stored up in its memory banks that it goes back and refers to. It goes back and attaches itself to a projection out into the future. So nobody can live in the moment. It's impossible with your mind to ever live in the moment. It just can't be done. So wasn't it great to hear when we were down there, there's no such thing as a mind? Well, what is the mind? It's just a bunch of formed beliefs that you, where you've attached sentences together and formed concepts. And some of them might be nice, but the nice ones set you up for the kick in the ass you're going to get later.
Yeah.
See? You're going to be completely liberated from any concept of death and the fear that it has long created. Now, what about Stalin? What about Hitler? What about all that stuff, all the atrocities, you gather them all up, that ever happened? And in our perverted mind, okay, we think there are mobs waiting on the other side that are going to create hell for all of these people. And guess what? None of them remember a thing. Now talk about freedom.
Yeah.
Huh? All this concept we've had of a heaven and a hell is just so perverted. How does everything get cleaned up and purified? Everybody's memories wiped out when they leave here.
Clean the hard drive.
Huh?
Clean up that hard
drive. Clean the hard drive. Now, though, that's going to be a hard for a lot of people because we look out into our world and we don't like this and we don't like that and we think that's bad and this is bad. Huh? But I'm going to share with you some revelation that will really help you understand that. Because I had some Facebook posts about it that were really good. It surprises me. And it teaches me.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm just telling you, I'll listen to some of my own lessons back and I'll say, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you now.
Right.
Okay? This comes to me and I don't know where in the hell it comes from. But it's not something I'm thinking of.
Right.
Because I couldn't dream up this stuff if I wanted to. It's just wonderful, and it sets me free. But sometimes I have to be reminded. Sometimes, as Jesus said, I haven't left my world and returned to righteousness, to understanding. So I have to practice it too. So there are two ways to liberation. We could call it salvation. I hate to use that Christian term, you know, but we could call it that. But there are two ways to liberation, and one of them, I just told you, was that physical death. Liberation will be all you know. No one enters the other side with a history.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Now, isn't that perfection?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Doesn't that clean everything up? Boy, it sure does.
And we shouldn't worry about nothing then.
Well, you're right. Why don't you come on up and share with us a little bit?
Yeah.
What is there to worry about but just what's brought up in our minds? Now, people say, well, Mike, he's some kind of guru and he's got it all figured out. I suffer and struggle just like everyone else, people. I'm not anybody special. And I was so glad when I got rid of my specialness because it was hell.
Right.
Hard to maintain.
It is hard to maintain, and I don't want to be somebody special. But I mean, I had my ass tore up understanding this stuff. Really, I'm serious.
Yeah.
And the first thing I found out is I'm no one special. Well, that sort of hurts when you first hear that, you know? It hurts a little bit. It slams the ego a little bit to find out you ain't worth shit.
Ow.
And why? Because there's nothing there.
Right.
It's just all a belief system. This identity that Dean talks about all the time just comes from these concepts. I shared a lesson on once the birth of the ego. Well, everything you think you are was something that was bred into you over the years from your family. They taught you all this stuff, and his grandpa taught him, and it went all the way back to wherever. So when the body disappears and the five senses no longer judge the appearances for right or wrong. What is that? It sounds like liberation. It sounds like freedom to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh? Freedom. Now, can you experience that now? Absolutely. It's already reality.
Yes.
It's already a reality. I love what Bruce will say sometimes, you know, when the stuff starts conjuring up, he'll say to himself, get behind me, Satan. Because that's all Satan was, even in Scripture, was the mind.
That's right.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Forming concepts and belief systems that just are not real. And it's harder over here. We should, if we'd all grown up somewhere where we're starving to death in Africa, there wouldn't be a lot to hang on to.
Right.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Right.
Okay? There wouldn't be very much to hang on to, would there? Because all you'd be thinking about is when I'm going to get my next meal. So, the second way to liberation is when the brain stops agreeing with the human dream of identity and its history. So now listen, the mind is still going to go on. But now that you've got it figured out, now that you know where it all comes from, do you know what? You don't have to resist it. You don't have to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
You can just let it have its way because you know it's not real. Right? So there's nothing to fight. Hello, LeBron. Angie, come on in.
Everybody can learn from you.
Wave at the camera.
Hey.
Hey, Angie.
So what we've been talking about, what we understand, is that what I'm talking about is this is your perfection. Huh? When you start to connect to this stuff, and what Robert had sung about, that you're perfect, well, when there's no longer you, you don't have to worry about being perfect anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That's perfection.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfection right there. And so the only way you can be perfect is when your idea of life ends and the concept you've had about yourself disappears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The concept, the belief.
Right.
This is a huge benefit. This is the icing on the cake, what we're talking about right now. So there's a huge benefit of you not being you. That sounds like a contradiction in terms, but what is this you? We thought it's just been a belief system that's been developed and handed to us over time. There's no separation. We're not separate from this unconditional love, this energy that's out there from which everything flows. Because there's only one. There isn't two. And so we're talking about non-duality. We're talking about that there's no separation. So there can't be a you and something else. Because that's separation. There's two then. It just isn't true. So this benefit, you know, if there's a you, how could you die? There's no you. There's nothing left. Is there? Bingo. Huh? Huh? There'd be nothing left to judge, be nothing left to criticize, to blame, or to fear. And it talked about quite a bit, even in Scripture, that fear was the last thing that had to be conquered. But where does this fear come from? It comes from the end of identity, the fear that you're not going to live anymore. So somehow we come up with these crazy concepts in Christianity that eternal life has screwed onto my miserable life down here. And so we have teachings about the rapture and all kinds of other stuff where we're going to go somewhere where it's going to be a continual party. You know, you never have to poop. You never get tired. None of those things, you know. You just drink your brains out and nothing affects you. Okay, that's our idea of heaven, right? I mean, that's what young kids do, right, anyway. just drink their brains out and mess their pants. You know, don't even know. And you don't remember anything anyway, so I'm not sure that's really good either. Dean said that the grave is simply the death of identity, which is the truth of no man. So the first thing to understanding liberation in this realm is that the identity that we build up, this ego we built up over the years, is just a belief system in our mind. It's not reality. And it separates us from the reality of unconditional love. Why is that? Because there's no you that can die. The identity is the only thing that's going to leave. What we are is eternal, unconditional love. That's what you are. And there's nothing that's going to change that. There's nothing that you can do that changes that. Bruce and I talked about a lot on Facebook. He said the only enemy you have is the person that you think you are. It's your only enemy. And so Dean continued. So crazy, he's got these posts that just line up with this. He says, you are not your identity. Its death is not you. So that's the only thing that's going to change, a physical death. Now, if you start to get a hold of that now and realize these crazy concepts that come to you through your mind aren't real, guess what? You can start to experience that freedom now.
Yeah.
You can start to live in the realization of what life is right now. And that's the only place you can enjoy it anyway.
Yeah.
But with an identity, as we just said before, your history is projecting so much fear into the future that there's never any rest. There's never any peace. There's never any joy. There's never any comfort. Because we're waiting for the last foot to drop on something. I mean, come on. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going through a lot, you know, at the business. Talk about up and down. They've got us on lockdown right now, the bank does, but things are starting to do a little better. But I mean, if I followed that thing, I'd throw my neck out 100 times. It's a friggin' yo-yo. It's good 1 week, it's bad the next. I mean, if you look, the financial guy we got in there that the bank demanded that we bring in gave us a picture of our year in 2015 and 2016 and what it's going to look like in 2017. I mean, it's like this. It looks like a big heartbeat. Well, you can't follow that and have any peace.
Right.
There's nothing there. It's scary looking, I'm telling you. Maharaj said something right along these same lines, and I'm going to quote him. He said, the dissolution of personality is always followed by a sense of great relief. As if a heavy burden has fallen away. I've got to believe this is the burden that Jesus was talking about, because I know he knew this stuff, because it's all over. It's in there if you just look.
That's right.
You know, it's not hidden, but it's in there. So there's an old proverb that says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, this is just exactly what we're talking about. Death is just a concept we have in our mind that somehow we're going to cease to be. It's not true. It's not reality. Dean says again, when one no longer desires to be God, there is no fear of death. Now, what do you mean by that? What's the desire to be God mean? Anybody got an idea?
Need to be in control.
Thank you, ladies. You've been listening. This whole concept of either you pretending you're a god or there's a god out there in the sky somewhere is all centered around either us wanting to control or begging and pleading for someone else to control what we don't like. They're both really the same. They come from the same thread. They come from the same concepts. So I want you really to listen to this right now, because it's really going to help make it a lot more clear. Because at death, there's only liberation. Not after death, there's only liberation. At death, there's only liberation. Not after death, there's only liberation. Do you understand the difference between the two?
Yeah.
Explain it.
At death, there's only liberation. Not after death, there's only liberation.
So at the death of us, there's liberation.
That's exactly right. That can happen right now, people.
Right.
Yeah. Just by understanding what we're talking about. It has nothing to do with whether you live it out or not. Mm-hmm. The person that's going to try to live it out isn't you anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay? Just understanding the concept of you will, your butt cheeks will start to relax a little bit. You know? Maybe you go just have a huge dump. Because that's what needs to happen. There needs to be just this brain unload, right?
Yeah.
This huge dump of all this stuff that's been building up over and over and over. I mean, what if you were a little child? Let's look at Wesley Jo. She's got a wonderful opportunity to not be fed a bunch of shit in her life.
Right, yeah, she does.
Huh? You think she's going to struggle with this stuff we're talking about? Are you kidding me? I don't. Is she, Robert? Is she going to struggle with this stuff?
No.
Well, she certainly isn't going to be taught it.
No.
So, boy, isn't that going to help?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow, I wish I was Wesley Jo.
Yeah.
Me too.
But also I can say, I'm glad I'm 60. I can stretch and kick. Still. Oh, that's at 50.
And 60.
Kick, stretch, and kick.
So at death, there's only liberation. Now, it will happen at physical death whether you want it to or not.
Right.
But the miracle and the wonder of it all is that you can start entertaining this idea now.
Yes.
You don't have to wait for a kick in the ass and you to quit breathing. And it takes away the fear that something's going to end. Boom, you hit the ground. My dad was 66. He was blowing leaves at my sister's. And all of a sudden, he was laying on the ground. They said he didn't know what hit him. He had a massive heart attack. They said he never felt a thing.
Right.
Well, guess what? The moment I looked at him, he knew there was no death. But I was crying and carrying on. It was awful. Huh? All of a sudden, his memory was gone, and he had no recollection of anything. And the first thing he realizes, there's no such thing as death. Now, that's what I call heaven. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is here. It's this realization that this idea and belief system you have about yourself is not real. And so that's why we can say there's no you. Now, when you just turn around and say, hey, listen, buddy, there's no you, you might get punched in the face. You don't exist. You're nothing.
You'd be like, and you're crazy.
Exactly. But when you start to understand this a little bit more, that the idea we have about ourselves is just something that's been conjured up anyway.
Right.
It's never been the eternal reality of what we really are. And that's a lifeless expression of unconditional love. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful.
It is.
It's wonderful. I'm telling you what, I'm relaxing a lot more now.
So am I.
You want to know what? It's sort of enjoyable. Can you believe that? I'm like sort of enjoying myself.
Yeah.
Because myself isn't following me around anymore. So at death, there's only liberation, not after death, right? This whole concept we've had, that we've been taught, you know, since we were in Sunday school, you know, I mean, my mom, when I talk to my mother, I love her to death. I can't, my mind can't wrap around that they still believe that stuff. I just go, wow, I really believe that. Now, one thing I got over right away, and I've said many times, is I quit believing in hell so long ago, just because my mom threatened it so much. You know, I said, she's got to be full of shit. And certainly, I'm not going to escape. I was convinced of that. I mean, because everything I did, you're going to hell. You're going to go to hell. You don't clean up your room. You disobey your parents. And I'd be caught out in the woods, the thunder would crack, and I'd run for my life, thinking God for sure was going to zap my ass. Seriously, as a little boy, I said, he's after me. Now, if there's really a God up there, do you think he'd miss? I mean, if he really wanted me, I'm sure he would get me. Isn't that crazy? The stuff we think of is just nuts. So I was sort of glad I had a crazy mom. Isn't that something?
Made sense.
Because it just told me, whatever this is a bunch of bullshit. I didn't tell her that. You know, I went along with the game because I wanted to be fed. We always had a nice dinner after church on Sunday, so I wanted that. So death, we'll talk a little bit more about this death that we're talking about, this at death. Death is the end of the dream of time. So there is no after death. There isn't an after death because there's no such thing as passing time. Now I think really, if somebody pinned you in a corner and said, do you believe in a past and a future? Say, no. Wouldn't everybody say that? I mean, it's sort of easy to understand that concept in the mind, that there's no history's. The only history you can have is what you remember. Right? Unless you got a museum somewhere, I guess. I don't know. And we know there's no such thing as tomorrow. There never has been. But somehow, we don't understand that there's no such thing as passing time. We don't understand the depth of the deception that we have, that we're still, at some capacity, carrying around our history at some level and projecting it into the future. Because there, if you really understood it, there would never be any worries, there'd be no fears, and there'd be no complaining about anything.
Right.
If you really understood this to the depths of what I'm talking about. So death is the end of the dream of time. So tomorrow we're going to talk quite a bit about time as an illusion. Passing time as an illusion. Because between identity and this concept of time is where all of us are struggling. Okay? This is right at the heart of the struggle that we're talking about right now. So death is the end of the dream of time. So there can be no after death. Does that make sense? There can't be something that happens after you die physically except freedom. But now, there can be freedom. And so we're sort of invited to die before we die.
Yeah.
Okay? Now listen, this is all over Scripture.
Yes.
It's in Revelation. Jesus talks about it. They'll lose your life to find life. Revelation said they love not their life unto death. God, that's like bingo. Mm-hmm. Cash it in. Pay me off. They love not their life unto death. Well, here, why did Jesus say, let the dead bury the dead? Because the dead are people that believe in death. Mm-hmm. They believe it's their identity. When their identity dies, it's going to be awful. And the only thing that's awful for is us poor slobs standing back here watching it all. I mean, I've been to a ton of funerals now. Robert's been to way more than me, but I've been to a funeral of a 2-year-old, a 93-year-old, and a 60-year-old. Just in the last 2 months.
Oh, wow.
I'm not saying it doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah.
It was the hardest thing I've ever been to go to a funeral of a 2-year-old.
Yeah. I just had to go to a funeral of a newborn that was never born. She was born dead. He was born dead. Horrible.
Now, why is that, though? Because we've got these concepts that we aren't eternal.
Yeah.
If you think it's going to be awful that your identity dies, well, guess what? It's because you don't believe that you're eternal. And you believe that time is ticking away. That the clock is ticking away. And you've got this lifespan of 70. And none of it is real. All of it has been something that's been taught to us. Over here in the West, in evangelicalism.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's good, you know, because it's shown us what not to do. I'm telling you that for sure, right? So, a question. Many people, including me, fear death. Well, why is that? And I answered. And I said, as long as there is the sense of a separated person, it's natural to fear death because death threatens to bring this person to an end. The identity to an end. Death threatens to bring my concept of myself, the person I think I am, to an end. Well, guess what? It's not real anyway.
That's right.
Hello? What would you be if you no longer thought you who you were? You're probably in a straitjacket because just the way I said that's confusing. Uh-huh. That's the first thing they do. But there's nothing more real about what I just said. I'm not even sure I can repeat that again. Huh? But what if it really overwhelmed you that everything you've ever thought about yourself has never been real? It would deliver you completely from any kind of past.
Right.
Everything. And this happened to me years ago when I was studying sovereignty and predestination in the Reform circles. Some of that stuff's really good. The only problem is they got a God screwed out of everything. I mean, when you realize that the life you're living isn't yours, it never was yours. I just thought, wow. I mean, talk about freedom. Talk about a release. It was just, I was sleeping in bed next to her. I told her all about her. I was reading Lorraine Bachner's book on predestination. And it just overtook me, and I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And that feeling has never left me since then. But I'm talking about the same thing right now. As long as there is a sense of a separated person, it's natural to fear death because it brings the person who we think we are, our identity, to an end. So this is where all the religious and spiritual stories come from. About how life continues after death, and some kind of an afterlife, and stories of rebirth. And of course, we all quit believing in heaven a long time ago, I think most of us. But there's still a lot of jabbering about reincarnation. Well, if there's not a you, how could you be reborn? There's nothing there. You're not going to come back and live another death life. Okay, that's not real. It's more crazy to me than saying there's a heaven screwed onto this life you've got down here now. It doesn't fit into anything we're sharing here at all. Not anything. So, when this sense of separation falls away, it is seen that there's no continuation of a person after death. There's no continuation of a separated person before death either. Hello? Because there is no separated person. Bingo. This is why we call it a dream, right here. This is why I call it awakening from the dream. This dream that somehow you've got something to maintain and it's going to continue in some kind of state for all eternity. I mean, Walter Land used to talk about, what are we going to do, sit around in a cloud and pluck a harp for a million years? Is that our idea of eternity? I mean, really, whatever concept you got, it isn't it.
Right.
That's what I'm telling you. It's not it. And it's going to be so far beyond any kind of a concept that the mind can conjure up. Because everything that we've thought of, everything that we've done here, is all going to disappear with your memory. It's not going to continue. So, in liberation, what we're talking about now, it's seeing that what we really are is oneness itself. We're not separate from anyone or anything. So nothing was ever born and nothing ever died. We've heard that statement. Tony's used to say that for years. No one is born and no one's died, and he would never participate in anyone's birthday party. Now, I don't care if you have a birthday party. It's fine with me.
There's cake there.
There's cake. Right, Sarah? It doesn't matter to me. As long as you understand, it doesn't really have any meaning. Birthday cake yourself to death. It doesn't matter. Nothing that you do matters as long as you don't take it personally. Okay? Go with the flow. Don't go around, let it know that thing is death. I'm not going to the birthday party. Just go with the flow. Wherever you're going, it's fine.
It's the love that's
important. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make one bit of difference. As long as you know in secret,
exactly.
Just keep it there. Because they'll torture you if you don't.
Yeah.
You get hung out to dry.
Well, I'm still telling people at funerals their loved ones went to heaven. They might quit paying me if I don't.
Well, that's fine. Just don't tell them that they disappear when they get there. That's awesome. Listen, what we're talking about is perfection here, guys. You get me a sense of it?
Mm-hmm.
If there's no you, how could you not be perfect? Huh? Who is there to blame?
Nobody.
Exactly. It's the only way it can be perfect. There's nothing there to criticize. There's nothing there to blame. There's nothing there to judge. That's perfection.
That's liberating.
In all of its glory. Mm-hmm. That is perfection. Last time we talked about perfect humility. Well, perfect humility is when you realize there's nothing there that needs to be perfect.
Right.
There's no more work to do. And yet we didn't disappear. Poof. We're still here. I've said these words and nothing has struck me dead. And I really understand this stuff. Now, I'm not saying I don't struggle, but in the back of my mind, the mind's saying things and then the mind's saying, you dumb shit, you know better. You know, so man, it's really busy. There's a lot of yakking going on up there, but it's keeping itself now, okay? That's all I know how to tell you. Is that it keeps itself now, because the truth, the real understanding of all of it is keeping an eye on it and say, this is bullshit. Okay, yeah, you're right. And that's all that matters. Doesn't matter if you slip on a banana peel and fall and cuss or do whatever. You know the difference. And that's all that matters, is just to know the reality of what's true about you. And that's, you were never born, and you can never die because there's no you. I listened to the last message we did down at Doris's called There Is No Self. I'm telling you what, now that was good stuff. I mean, I listened to it and I'm going, I mean, I can't believe it's me to begin with, okay? And I'm not trying to condemn myself or promote myself, but I'm just saying, this is really good. And it really, I had to set it in because I was getting tangled up in something, you know, sort of like Snagglepuss was chasing my ass. And so something just said, well, listen to this. And I mean, it just, it set me free just in 45 minutes. It just was gone. And so we need to remind ourselves, because the mind's a busy person. It's conjuring up stuff all the time. So you just got to remind yourself of what reality is. And as long as you're reminding yourself of what reality is, it will keep itself.
Right.
Okay? So there's no worries. You get this in you and you go, wow, I know that's true. That's all you need. That's it. Because it will come back on its own. And if it wasn't true and if it wasn't reality, you wouldn't want anything to do with it. And I'm telling you, it's in every one of you. I know, because it keeps an eye on me. That's pretty hilarious. You know, if somehow you could project that and print it on a screen or broadcast it over a radio system, it would be hilarious. You'd be entertained. Robert knows how to do that live, you know. So, what you are is oneness itself.
Oneness.
Oneness. There's no two. There isn't us and something else. There isn't us and a God. There isn't somebody sitting up there on a cloud sitting at a computer. And when we understand that there's only timelessness, when we talk about this tomorrow, you're going to understand at a lot greater depth why that's true. Because if I was reading through the notes to them, and again, I'm just shocked at the reality of it. And it really starts to make so much sense even. Although it's really hard for the mind to grasp this stuff, I'm going, wow, this just makes so much sense even. At a simple level, it gets more simple. Mind makes everything complicated, right? Mm-hmm. So death is the end of the dream of separation. That's the kind of death we're talking about here. It's the end of being separate. When liberation is seen, concerns about death begin to fall away. And again, it's because it's seen that what we really are was never born. Now, I don't understand that when I say I was never born and never died, but I don't remember being born.
Right.
Either. But we're going to understand again tomorrow why this is so. Because everything's origin is in timelessness. Everything's origin is in timelessness. Mm-hmm. It's not in a concept of a past and a future. Everything. So the understanding of unconditional love plays a huge part in the disappearance and concerns about death. Now, there's a lot of people are talking about love. They're saying, oh, you're love, and you love this and love this, but unconditional love has nothing to do with love. Mm-hmm. It's not an emotion. Mm-hmm. Unconditional love isn't just the love a mother has for a daughter or a father has for a daughter or a son. That's not what we're talking about at all. Unconditional love embraces both the positive and the negative.
Yes.
Okay. And says they're all one. It says there's no difference. Mm-hmm. And says as long as you're standing at the tree of good and evil, you're going to suffer. As long as you're looking out into the world and judging it as right or wrong, you're going to suffer.
Right.
There's going to be anger. There's going to be frustration. Okay? But if you realize that nobody that's ever left here never experienced death, you can't experience death, folks. Because the moment you quit breathing, you're going to get overwhelmed the fact there's no death.
Right.
So there will be no time to experience it. Okay? Now you might wail and carry on and be hurting a little bit before. A lot of people have told me, well, I'm not really worried about death, I just don't want to suffer. Well, that part sucks.
Right.
You know, pain. You know, Diane and I both have struggled with some things this last year, and I mean, it was terrible. She couldn't even get out of bed for a month. That was not fun. But it had nothing, has nothing to do with death. It wasn't anything terminal. So what we're, if we keep it in context here, we're not talking about suffering from pain. Nobody likes that, but I mean, we got good drugs, I'm telling you. Okay? Good drugs. Sorry, I slipped off there. It's natural to want to avoid being uncomfortable. We're not talking about that, okay? If you're really uncomfortable, let me know. I've got some ideas for you, okay? Just give me a call. So, we talk about all this stuff disappearing and there's not a you. So what are you then?
Energy.
Energy. Very good. I like what Tricia Burney talks about. She talks about light energy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She said she came from stardust. Mm-hmm. Well, that's sure a lot hell better than saying she came from God.
Yeah.
I'll take stardust anytime over a God. Okay? But we're going to delve deeper in that. I'm telling you, on Sunday, I got some really good, I almost want to tell you now, but I can't. But it's so good. I was just reading it today, and I just was, tears were coming down my eyes, my face, because it was just so pure. And it was just so relieving to me to just sense the reality of when these things start to get put together, what they mean. Mm-hmm. It's just so freeing. There's nothing more freeing than realizing there's no you. You can't get any more free. Wow. I like it. I'm just telling you, Mikey likes it. I've been enjoying myself, whoever that is.
Right.
So, what are you? Without the mind telling you what you are, there would be no identity. Now, when you go to sleep at night and you're not dreaming, when you're in this deep REM sleep, you know, that we have, you're still there, right?
I think so.
Yeah, you're still there. That's you. That's the real you. You're not bitching, you're not complaining, you're obviously not in pain because you're zonked out or you're under drugs. But that's the real you. You know, every morning when I wake up, that concept hits me as soon as my feet hit the floor. But sometimes I'll go to bed with some frustration and some weird stuff that I've been uncomfortable during the day, and it's gone by morning. Well, nothing happened. What happened? My memory banks got flushed out, didn't it? Isn't that something? And until my memory starts to come back with all of its haunted stories, there's relief there. So, I mean, that proves to you right there what we're talking about is true. Nothing's changed. It's good stuff, you know? Huh? You're still there. You're more there than you ever were. Our history is what produces the impression that there's a you with a life that perishes. You can't be your memory. But if I erased your memory, there could be no impression of identity left. Now, wouldn't that... Oh, gosh. You feel it right now. It's happening. As we're talking about this, this is happening. This erasing of the memory, this realizing that this person in your mind that's got this concept of you isn't real. And so when you start to know the difference, you can just say, you're full of shit. And go on your day. And not have to be condemned by your own mind and memories. It's crazy good stuff. It's the only way I can function now, because I mean, I'm going through some crazy stuff right now. I've got a business right now, okay? This year, we're gonna do more sales than we've done in 5 years. And you wanna know what? I can't touch a dollar of it. Matter of fact, they were gonna cut off my salary a week ago because somebody got their math screwed up. Because the bank's got it all in lockdown so it can make sure it gets repaid all of its money. Now, we owe quite a bit, okay? So there's not gonna be a huge semi come up load with $1,000 bills here soon. That's not gonna happen. But the thing that's nice about it is all this debt we've had with the bank is gonna be paid off.
Right. Yeah.
That's pretty exciting,
yeah.
Okay? It's like $11 million is gonna get paid off. Well, I mean, before when we thought it was going to tank, man, I'd have to sell a lot of pencils on the corner to even come close, wouldn't I? And I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do with it all. And I didn't tell her a lot about it, but I lived with that over my head for a year while we were waiting to sink, because I thought it was going to sink. And I was coming to the conclusion that it's okay if it sinks. I came to that conclusion that it's okay. I've done it 7 times before, so I've experienced it before. Not saying it makes it easier. It probably doesn't, to be honest with you. But I really come to the grips with it, you know, and everybody was running around at work, Mike, why aren't you upset? And I said, well, because there's not a lot I can do about it. You know, and I'm not saying it wasn't hard. It was really hard. But now, because we're in what's called forbearance. Does anybody know what that is? You probably do, don't you? You're on all those banks. It's not good to be in forbearance, okay? It means we violated all our covenants with the bank and they really control the business. And
out of trust, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, we violated the trust agreement. But not intentionally, but I mean, I charged $60 on the wrong card, and you thought they called out the mod squad. I'm not kidding you. Mike, what was that? I said, hey, whoa. I just used the wrong card once, okay? It was $63 for 50. Oh, boy. Guys, just think, if you remember just this, you can't be your memory. Huh? You cannot be your memory. You gotta be something more than that. Come on. Huh? And if your memory's gone, you don't disappear. That's what I'm telling you. Okay? I mean, look at these people who have amnesia. I mean, we watched this one story where this gal woke up and her husband really loved her and he brought her flowers and stuff and she didn't remember a lick of it.
Yeah.
And so while she was recovering in the hospital, she fell in love with her doctor. Left him to the gooses. Why? I don't know you. You say you're my husband, but I don't even know you. And she was in the hospital so much and suffered from so many things, they never had a chance to even develop any kind of a relationship. But this doctor really liked her, and she got attached to him, and it was over. I mean, it's not a great story, but it really is a good analogy of what we're talking about here. Huh? You can't be your memory, guys. Hello? Come in. But if your memory's gone, you're still here. So all of this stuff we've conjured up in our mind that's the illusion. Okay? This is the illusion. There's nothing wrong with this out here, guys. There's nothing wrong with it. This is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with the world. It's just my projection of the world that's wrong. My judgment towards it of good or evil. The world doesn't need to be saved. It just needs to be saved from our judgment.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their own world. And if over in Iraq they want to drop bombs, that's their world. And they will suffer the consequences. But it's not my world. And I don't have to go there. I'm telling you right now. You can't make everyone else's world your world. And it's none of your business anyway. Start to pull it in and just experience the peace that brings, because I'm just telling you, it gets rid of 90% of the bullshit that was out there anyway. And there's not so much to manage anymore. We just don't turn the TV on very much anymore. We watch love shows, Hallmark Channel, and The Voice, and American Idol, and Dancing with the Stars.
And this is us.
And this is us. Well, this is us. Got a little bit of bullshit in it, but it ain't bad.
It's still good.
It's not too bad.
It's still good bullshit.
Yeah, we watched Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
I can't handle the love stories.
I know what you mean. She makes me.
Sappy love
stories. Then he gets
sappy. They're really dainty, too, aren't they?
Yeah.
The Hallmark ones.
Yeah, Hallmark's all about, right? Love, right?
Yeah, there was one. I mean, the script was awful. I could have done a better job than that.
Too predictable.
See you after.
Love.
Love. Exactly.
Love.
Please watch this with me. Well.
Katie Clucker. We're turning
this. So. Yeah. If you only remember this tonight, remember this. If I erased your memory, there would be no impression of you left, but you'd still be here. Okay? That's you. And there can be nothing wrong with that. Ever. You can bring back whatever the hell you did. I don't care. I don't care. And if you don't care anymore, what difference does it make? Huh? You gonna listen to other people? No. So, what we are is oneness itself. Oneness was never born. How could oneness ever be born? It didn't have a beginning. Oneness is timeless, right? So everything projects out of this eternal now. See, it doesn't go back and forth. It's just flowing. We've got a lot of terminology that talks like that. Everything is just flowing out from this eternal now. It doesn't have a past and it doesn't have a future. Right? It doesn't. This is where everything originates from. This unconditional love expressing itself and flowing, this energy that's flowing, just like Sally was saying, it's just an energy. It doesn't come from anywhere because it is everywhere. It can't come from somewhere when it is everywhere. There can be no origin. Okay? We'll talk something to you about tomorrow that'll sort of, we'll have to go check our pants tomorrow after I tell you a couple things. But if you just understand what I said to you just now, you'll know it's true. But it's just crazy because of our concepts in our mind have come up with these crazy things. And so we can't understand that we were never born and that we'll never die. That we can't. The mind can't understand that, so don't try. But you can get this feeling that there's this flow of energy that just never ends. And it's just more of a circle. And it doesn't have an end and it doesn't have a beginning. This is where all of life is flowing out of every microsecond. And even that's too long. So we're oneness that was never born. Death is not an experience, because in death there is no one to have an experience. Death is the end of separation. Death is the end of identity. Death is the end of a memory. That's what death is. All those things are death. And so, as I invited you earlier, it's to die before we die. This is what Jesus was saying. He said, let the dead bury the dead. He says, follow me. I'm going to tell you some really good stuff. And this is what he was talking to him about, because you know, I don't really read my Bible anymore, but I'm telling you, I know it because I studied it for decades, and this is in there. It's actually in there very plainly. So in the story, you've got it for yourself. There might be something that happens, but death itself does not take place. The story of you, it's a history story. It's in a history book, right? The story of you. This physical thing is going to happen to everybody, but in oneness it is seen that as there is only this, this ever-flowing energy, this is all there is, nothing is happening to anyone, including death. Now that's another just mind-boggler, that nothing's happening. If you get the feel of this a little more, you'll understand what I mean. As soon as you think something's happening, you've attached yourself to a chemtrail. Yeah. And you're following a thought out into time and space. Okay? If you can begin to live in this and live in this spontaneous flow of life and love, I'm telling you what, it frees you right up. It's so wonderful. It's so free. So, somebody else asks, does death get everyone in the end? Does death get everyone in the end? So back to the story. Death gets everyone in the end. In a story, doesn't it? But where does your story come from?
History.
Your story comes from your history. In the story, death gets everyone in the end. When it's seen that there's no one for death to get, death loses its fascination. Death can't get a hold of you if there's no you. Yeah, it's very good. Thank you. It is very good. To a person where the fear of death does not exist, life is no longer a problem. There are no fears. There's no anxieties. What we call the experience we have in this world begins to lose its grip because we aren't judging it. So if you're having trouble with what's going on, it's because you're grabbing a hold of what's going on instead of just letting it flow. And we judge the hell out of it. So what happens? We stop it and we start judging the hell out of it. You stop life. You plug up life. Just let it flow. Sally, I know you know how to do this. You're a flow person.
It's getting better.
But I know you float. I've been around you. She floats like a butterfly. You probably teach us a little bit about some of this float stuff.
We can all teach each other.
So during this dream, you could be the King of England or the President of the United States. Mm-hmm. But when we wake up, we find that it's not so, that I was only asleep and dreaming these things. So it doesn't matter who you are, what you do. Just because I'm the CEO and president of this big company that's got all this money coming in I can't even touch. What good's it doing me?
Getting out of debt.
Well, it's getting the company out of debt.
Yeah.
You are the captain.
Anyway. with the dream of an embodied life in a world where there is birth and death, we will find that in reality, we were never born at all. That the person I thought I was is only a misunderstanding of what life really is. So we can talk about illusion and dream, and everybody gets offended by those strong words. But what I just said is a reality. This idea, this concept that you've got of yourself is something that you've been fed. I'm telling you, it's not true, what you've been fed. That's what I'm telling you. That's the illusion. You're still here. We aren't going to fall over and quit breathing when we're done with this meeting. But maybe we'll have understood the reality of this enough just to loosen up a little bit more.
Yeah.
And enjoy this evening and tomorrow a little bit more. Huh? Mm-hmm. So that's success. Huh? That's real success. To not worry about what could possibly happen and nowhere tomorrow. So there's just one thing standing in the way, and it is your belief systems about death and identity. So we put those together, we understand why. Okay? And it comes out of the birth and understanding that, not understanding that life flows out of a place of timelessness. This is where eternal life dwells. And tomorrow, we're going to talk about that a lot. And so tonight I want to end with a quote from one of my favorites, Nisargadatta Maharaj. I tell you, it took me a long time to pronounce his name. I had to practice it. Look in the mirror. Nisargadatta Maharaj. It's the first name is like three names long, okay? So this is what he says. So this is the challenge and question put to us. The ringing bell that tolls for all of us is to awaken from this dream and the deep sleep of ignorance which has enveloped us in this modern age. And that is that we're something separate from eternal life, something separate from oneness. And from this and out from this is where all our problems come from. And so thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody out there in Ustream land. We will see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. with the unbelievable Robert Rutherford. Listen, if he does 50% as good as he did down at Doris's, it will be really good, okay? So I'm only expecting 50% out of you this time, okay?
I'll bring it.
He's going to bring it. So, see you tomorrow. We love you, everybody.
Love y'all.
Bye.